not interested in the escalation of the situation in the region.
President Zelensky has said it's clear Russia is behind these attacks in Moldova. He says the goal is obvious: to destabilize the situation in the region, to threaten Moldova, to show that if Moldova supports Ukraine, there will be certain steps.
President Zelensky is probably the last source I would look for any kind of truthful information, because we already know what kind of psychological and information warfare they're engaging in, like with Bucha, with Kramatorsk, and many others. So whatever he says, I would certainly think about it with a big, big grain of salt.
We'll get on to Bucha in a moment, Ambassador, but if you're accusing President Zelensky of engaging in propaganda or psychological warfare and unable to engage in truthful information, you just corrected me and called what's going on in Ukraine a special operation and not a war. That's not truthful information, is it?
Well, I'm not sure you know what the war is. Certainly, the kind of military operation which is going on is not a war in a military sense. War is all-out attack, no holds barred. What we have been engaged is a very surgical operation aimed to safeguard the Donetsk and Lugansk republics, to deny the Kyiv regime any military capability to continue the genocide, the campaign against these republics, which they have been carrying on for 8 years. So with the special emphasis of not targeting any civilian infrastructure, any civilian objects.
Okay, so this is not war, you say, and it's war is no holds barred. This isn't no holds barred, apparently, what we've been witnessing in the last 2 months. Let's just have a listen to a resident of Chernihiv. This was somebody speaking to Morning Ireland's Keane McCormick earlier this month about her 96-year-old mother.
She is 96. For her, she is crying, we are nervous. She can't believe that Russian, whom she considered to be brothers, and that they invaded our country. For her, it's shock.
And let's have a listen, Ambassador, to Ukrainian MP Kira Ruddick speaking to Drive Time on April 4th about what she saw after the Russian army left Bucha.
Totally destroyed car with dead children inside who were trying to escape. So they were two kids holding two white flags on both sides. This is how they were killed. They probably read the books where it was said that if you are hanging the white flags, like pirates, you know, that nothing will happen to you. It turned out these rules don't work.
Is that war, Ambassador? Is that not no holds barred?
No, this is calculated, staged provocation, which we witnessed in Bucha. Russian military had nothing to do with the killing of civilians. We have explained the whole incident in very minor detail. We know, and the president told that to the UN Secretary General just the other day, yesterday, that we know who did it, how they prepared, in what way, and that all be used to bring to justice all responsible. By the way, what about Kramatorsk?
Before you move on to Kramatorsk, we might stick with Bucha for just a second, because there are realms of eyewitness reports. There's satellite imagery, there's independent journalist reports, all of which point to the atrocities in Bucha being committed by the Russian army. There's drone footage showing a Russian Z-marked tank firing at and killing a civilian cycling on a bike. New York Times reporters spent a week there with city officials, coroners, scores of witnesses in Bucha. They documented a mother being killed by a sniper while walking with her family to fetch a thermos of tea. A woman held as a sex slave, naked except for a fur coat, locked in a potato cellar before being shot in the head. Two sisters dead in their home, their bodies left slumped on the floor for weeks. And Russia is claiming, if I understand you correctly, that the Ukrainians did this to themselves.
Yes, we have every reason to believe that the Ukrainian special services and nationalist battalions have been very much involved in staging all that. And well, what's the point of having me on the line? If you want to make statements, you are very welcome and do it without me. If you want to listen to our point of view, please give me a chance.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to bring your attention to the next big thing in this operation, which has been Kramatorsk, the missile strike against the railway station with hundreds of people there and with many casualties. It was automatically blamed on the Russian military, only to sort of retract very quickly after it was established that the missile, the tactical missile Tochka-U, has been launched from the Ukrainian position, and it was absolutely irrefutably established by the Western journalists there.
You see, the problem is, Ambassador, that the Russian government is giving us a version of events that nobody else is giving us. I mean, for example, in your recent newsletter, you speak about the liberation of Mariupol. When the Russian army bombed a theatre in Mariupol where civilians were sheltering and where on the ground outside the word children was written in letters large enough to be read from space, when the Russian army bombed that theatre, who was the Russian army liberating?
You know, what makes you think that the Russian army bombed the theatre?
Again, you are suggesting that Ukrainians are killing themselves.
Because the explosion, as the expert has established, it was inside the theater. So the explosives have been placed there, and it was not for sure that Russian military had done it, since the district of Mariupol has been controlled by the Ukrainian forces.
Okay, so the Ukrainians killed themselves there again. And I suppose it's the same view from Russia or the same contention from Russia when it comes to the bombing of a maternity hospital in Mariupol. This is an attack that was independently verified by AP journalists who were there on the ground, who took harrowing photographs of a pregnant woman on a stretcher that the whole world saw. Those same journalists followed up on that woman in the hospital to find out that she and her unborn baby had died. Is Russia's contention what, that she didn't exist, that the journalists were lying,
no,
that everyone who was there were lying?
The lady in question did really exist, and she afterwards she gave birth, and we know that. But we know also that the photographer you mentioned, that was a staged photo op with this model. Ukrainian model. She was quite okay, but she was with lots of makeup, of blood, etc. To create an impression.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. And we, like as you say, we have invited you on. You're very welcome on the program this evening to speak to us about what is happening in Ukraine. But it's very difficult and insulting to our listeners to hear what you are saying. I think I have to put that to you.
I'm sorry.
Because you are taking us all for fools, aren't you? Because your contention seems to be... Can I just put to you what your contention and what Russia's contention seems to be? It's that Russia invaded Ukraine. And after that point, Ukrainians in response started randomly killing each other, raping each other, their own citizens, in an effort to frame Russia for those crimes. The whole country was in it. All the eyewitnesses that have spoken to journalists were in it, north, south, east and west, independently came together as part of this big lie to frame Russia. And journalists on the ground from America, from France, from the UK, from all over the world, they watched it, they saw this big lie and they reported the big lie. The whole world is in on this big lie, is what Russia is saying.
What I'm trying to say, sir, is I am trying to get another point of view on this very difficult issue. If you don't like the message, it's not the wisest way to hate the messenger. You just would like to open your eyes to another sources of information, which is, of course, I admit it's really difficult under the circumstances because of the overall established fact that Russia is evil of all evils. If you try to get away from this sort of set piece, then you would discover many things which would really be uncomfortable for many people.
Yes, I'm not trying to blame the messenger. The problem is we increasingly feel that we can't trust the messenger. That's you. And the reason that we don't know if we can trust or feel that perhaps we can't trust you is because you and I spoke 2 months ago, a week before Russia invaded Ukraine. We spoke for an interview on Primetime. And in that interview, you told me I was insane to suggest that Russia would invade Ukraine and that the troops that were stationed all around Ukraine's border, the Russian troops, were going to be gone within a couple of weeks. Here's what you said.
We do not have any plans of invading anybody, least of all Ukraine, which is our neighboring country. We don't have any political, military, economic, or whatever other reason to do that. Okay. That's completely, the whole idea is insane.
Ambassador, were you lying to me, or did you not know the truth of what your president planned to do?
Sarah, I subscribe to that even now, because our preference has always been that the political, strategic, security interests of Russia would have been better served by two things. First, full implementation of the Minsk agreements, and secondly, the comprehensive agreement on security guarantees that we proposed to the US and NATO back in December. Neither proved to be possible. First, Ukrainian authorities publicly declared that they are not going to implement Minsk, and US and NATO rejected our proposal.
But all of that had happened when we spoke, and when you assured me that there was going to be no invasion, that I was insane to suggest it, and you told me the Russian troops would be gone within weeks. You're saying you didn't lie. So did you just not know?
Well, there might have been a chance that I didn't know every circumstance. As you might imagine, it's not necessarily that all the ambassadors are consulted in a very difficult and changing situation. But basically what I am trying to say that under circumstances...
So you were lied to then. Can I assume that you were lied to by your own superiors?
No, no, not at all. What I am saying is, under circumstances, the only way to defend Donbass and our own strategic interests, ending suffering, which has been the fact of the matter for 8 years, was through special military operation. Mm-hmm. That was more necessity than preference. You should understand that.
Why should we believe anything that you are saying to me now if you are somebody, as you're saying, who is not in the know?
Not, at no point in time in my life and my professional career, nobody questioned my personal integrity. And I'm not going to accept that now.
Okay. I take your bona fides that when you told me there was going to be no invasion and Russian troops were going to be moved, that was your knowledge at that time. Did you not call your superiors before an interview with Primetime to check what was the latest situation? And what were you told?
Well, I didn't call anybody. I simply know what is going on through the statements of minister and all the rest.
The reason I'm pressing this point is because if we can't believe that, and we can't believe it because it has been proven to be untrue, that statement that you gave me 2 months ago, and if we can't believe that or trust what you're saying, then I can't trust any single thing that you're saying to me now.
I don't understand then why do you call me with a request to have an interview? If you don't trust, if you think I'm a liar and etc., what's the reason?
To be clear, Ambassador, I'm not calling you a liar. I've accepted that you were telling me the information as you knew at the time. What I'm asking you now is where you got that information, because it was false information.
Well, it was publicly available. I mean, it's nothing is a surprise.
Okay. Ukraine has warned repeatedly in the last couple of months that if Russia is successful in Ukraine in terms of its goals, it won't stop there, that Russia will continue to try to gain more territory in the West, will it?
The aims, the tasks of the military operation has been publicly stated many times by the president and by other leaders of Russia. And that is to defend Donbass, which means safeguarding Donbass and Donetsk and Luhansk republics in the borders to demilitarize Ukraine so that it won't be any military threat to Russia, and to ensure that there are safeguards for that status. I mean, the non-aligned neutral status of Ukraine, which would be of no strategic threat to Russia. That's it.
Finally, Ambassador, as a resident here in Ireland, do you feel or are you aware of the anger of the Irish people about Russia's actions? Are you aware of how unwelcome you are in this country for very many people?
I know that there are different people in Ireland, and I know that many, many people are angry, and I understand their feelings. Nobody would be happy with the images and news stories they receive on a daily basis. I understand them, and I pity them, because it's only, they are the objects of a propaganda warfare. Let's put it bluntly and straightforwardly. And we do know, and we have received quite a number of messages, letters from other people, Irish people, who try to think out of the box. And they question, you know, this simplistic high moral ground in the Comer's position, which blames all things on Russia, and that's it. No, it's not true. It's not the picture of the world.
Well, that was the Russian ambassador to Ireland, Yuri Filatov, speaking to me a little earlier this afternoon. And I should say that Mr. Filatov made a series of claims in that interview about events in Mariupol, Kramatorsk and elsewhere, which have been investigated and dismissed by multiple independent analysts.
Choosing new windows and doors.